I know one day I'm going to get carried away. I'm going to worship like I've never been able to worship. And praise God, He's going to be worthy of all that I can say and all that I can do to glorify His precious name. We got being burdened about some things about our church, and as we said, about being so broken and scattered about. And I was burdened about it, and I was sharing it with my wife, and then somebody messaged me this week and told me they was burdened about it too. And it's not the folks that are sitting in the parking lot, it was us that was on the inside, because we felt so bad because we're missing fellowship with so many folks on the outside, and we just wanted to be a part. We wanted to be together. Turn in your Bibles with us, if you would, into Psalm 122. Psalm 122. And as you're turning this morning, I'm just going to say again how good it is to be here. This is what this psalm is about, being in the house of God, and why we're here and why we're gathered here. Some folks are missing the reason. They're missing the focus and missing the point of being in God's house. And they're getting all wrapped up in buildings. They're getting all wrapped up in things that really have no bearing and have no place. And I think we need to stay focused on what's right. And it's about the glory of God. And Psalm 122, the psalmist says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Father, again, we come to you asking your blessing upon our service. We ask you to bless this word that has been read. We ask you to bless the preaching as it comes forward. Although it's from a feeble vessel, Lord, I pray that it might be mighty in its power and in its ability to touch and to transform and to help lives that stand in need this morning. Now, God, I just ask that your will be done in everything, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. We say amen. The psalmist had a thankful heart because of what he had, because of the ability that he had to go to worship. He said, "I was glad that spilled over into hopefulness." I do believe in hopefulness and excitement, because he was able to go to the house of God. A lot of people can't even do what we're doing this morning. A lot of folks in this world don't have the ability to freely express their affection and their desire to worship God in any way, shape, or form. And we're so privileged, we're so blessed to be able to be here. The psalmist said, "I was glad." That word "glad" has several different meanings. It means to experience pleasure, joy, or delight, or to be made happy. It means very willing. I was glad to do it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm happy this morning that I can be here. I was glad for the privilege to prepare the message, and the privilege to look forward to the service that we would have out here together today. And I was willing, and I was glad and ready to come, and excited about the prospect of being here and seeing so many folks this morning that love the Lord and want to be in the house of the Lord and want to be together with God's people. And then lastly, there's a lot more than this to the word "glad," but these are the three that stood out, the three first primary uses of the word "glad." But it's made pleased, satisfied, or grateful, to be glad of something. Amen. I'm satisfied that I'm able to come to the house of God. Amen. I'm pleased and I'm grateful. Privilege is granted unto me to be here. There's a lot of things that go on here that don't happen anywhere else. And there's a lot of reasons to be glad to go to the house of the Lord. The psalmist said, I was glad. Why was he glad? Because that's where the word is. That's where the word is found. In verse number 4, he says, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. Testimony is God's word. The testimony is where God has recorded and God has kept and God has made his covenant with his people. You know, when they went to the tabernacle, when they went to the temple later on, they were going where there was three things that were very special, three things that were dear to the heart, three things that made them glad to go there. There was the tablets that God had wrote upon them, his very word in print, his very word inscribed by his hand, his very word visible for the naked eye to see, his very word that was present with them and had been given, the tables that Moses had, the tablets were there at the temple. They were there at the house of the Lord, and it was important unto the psalmist because they were there. And not only was the word inscribed and the word written there, but the word was in the ark. The word ark simply means a vessel. You know, Noah built an ark. He built a vessel. Amen. An ark was a vessel to contain something and to hold something. And the ark that God had given for these tablets to be placed in, I was called the Ark of the Covenant. Why is that? Because it contained the words that held the words that prescribed the words that were the promise of God to his people. Amen. I'm glad today that I can come and I know that the Word is with me. I have the Word. I can bring the Word with me. And I'm glad today that the Word is a covenant between God and between man. In the Old Testament, we see the Old Testament law as a covenant between God and Israel, God and his people. But praise God, in the New Testament, in the day of grace, in this dispensation of grace, we have the Word of God, again, that has been given unto us, the Word of God that has been preserved for us, the Word of God that has been shared with us, that is nothing less than the promise of God's covenant with his people. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We will forever be his people. He will forever be our God. And we're thankful for that promise. We're thankful for today. And not only was the tables of stone that were inscribed, the written word there, not only was the evidence of the covenant there, but the very presence of God was there. He dwelt between the cherubims on the mercy seat of the ark of the covenant. I'm glad that when I show up to God's house, I'm glad that when God's people together and we look to his word, we're not looking at some dead words of some dead poets, of some dead people, but we're living and looking and holding on to the living word of God. Amen. That's able to do all that is needful in this old sinful world. The word has power because it's not only endued with what we read, it's not only backed up by the covenant that he made, but it's made powerful by the presence of his indwelling within it. Look at this. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the Word has power. Amen. Why was he glad to go to the testimony of God, to the Word of God? And why was he glad to be there where the testimony was? Because it had great power. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's nothing that the Word of God can't uncover. There's nothing that the Word of God can't reveal. There's nothing that the Word of God can't pour out into your life and let you see what it is that you need to see and what it is that you need to know. I don't care what sin you've got hidden. The Word of God will dig it out. The Word of God will illuminate it, reveal it, and penetrate it to bring you to the place of repentance. I don't care how lost you are and how deep in sin you are, how bad you think you are, and how hopeless you think you are. The Word of God will bring you to the place where you can realize that it has power to shape your image. It has power to change your life. It has power to do what nothing else in this world can do. Not only is it powerful, but it's inspired. And Timothy, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We're not talking about the writings of man here. We're talking about the covenant. We're talking about the promise. We're talking about the very Word of the living God. It's inspired. Scripture, no gospel, nothing in this book is of man's interpretation or man's prerogative. It's all been given and it's all been delivered unto us by the inspiration of God to help us, to instruct us, to guide us in all that we need to do. And not only is it powerful, not only is it inspired, it's life-changing. Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God and the preaching of the Word, the sharing of the Word, the hope of the world will bring man unto a realization of what he needs in his life. It'll bring you to the faith of accepting Christ as your Savior. It'll bring you to salvation. It'll bring you to the faith to surrender your life to the service of God on a foreign field or wherever he might send you. He might send you to the next door neighbor. He might send you to the next country. He might send you halfway around the world, but the Word of God is inspired and can stir your heart and can move you to surrender your life into service and living for Him. And I tell you, one of the greatest things that the Word of God does in changing a life is help us to find peace in our dying hour. You say that's not living. Well, dying's a part of life. Dying is a part of the living that we do. From the moment we're born, we begin a journey to the grave. And some folks fear the grave. Some folks are terrified of the grave. God's people shouldn't be so. God's people should look at the grave and think of how sweet it's going to be to slip from this world into the glory world, from this life into eternity. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord, because it's the place where the testimony of God was kept." But not only is it the place of the testimony, it's the place of the witnesses of God's Word. Who are the witnesses? It's God's people. It's those that God has ministered to, those that God has touched. The Jews had to go. They were required three times a year to go. Go anytime they wanted, but three times a year they were all required to go and to worship there. The temple or the tabernacle, whichever it was in its respective time period. But the people that went were witnesses to the fact that they were serving the living God. They were serving the covenant-giving God. They were serving the one who had done exactly what he said he was going to do. And when he made his promise unto Abraham to make of him a nation, they were evidence of that. They were proof of that. And in their hearts and minds, as they went, they knew who they were. Whether shall the tribes of go up the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 4 and verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. You know, it's a collaborative thing. In verse number 8, he says, for my brethren and companions' sake, there was a relative there. You know, we always think of those as relatives as being far off. But do you realize that was a whole nation that was brought together? That was a whole nation that come together because of one common bloodline. Of all the hundreds and the thousands and the millions that dwelt in Israel, that all come to worship at the house of the Lord, they come because they had a common bloodline. Amen. Israel was one extended family. They all came from the seed of Abraham. God told Abraham he would multiply his seed as the stars of heaven, as the sands of the sea. They had one common bloodline. It was one thing that brought them all there. They had something that bound them all together. They were all God's people because there was one bloodline that had made the difference. There was one bloodline that had drawn them all together. And praise God, we're here today at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church to worship because we have a common bloodline. Amen. There's one bloodline that brings us. There's one bloodline that draws us. There's one bloodline that keeps us. There's one bloodline that makes us want to shout the house down. There's one bloodline that has affected all of those who have trusted the Lord. In John 1, 12 and 13, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, nor the will of man, but of God. They're not born of this earthly blood, but they're born by the will of God. And that blood is by the blood of his Son that was shed on Calvary's tree. And everyone that has trusted Jesus as their personal Savior has become one family. And we have one purpose. We're united and unified in one goal to worship the one Father that has made it all possible. The one who has given us all these blessings that we might know and we might receive. In Galatians 3 and 28, it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I'm glad this morning when we get our hearts and minds centered on him, when we get our hearts and minds focused the right way, how we get our hearts and minds set for the same goal because of the same reason, because of that single bloodline, that single blood that makes a difference, the single blood that cleanses from all our sins and all unrighteousness, that single blood that made it possible for us to become the sons of God. And then we can get together and we can focus on that one thing, and we can worship and be witnesses of him together in our worship together. In Matthew 18 and 20, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. To experience presence of God, amen, is why we come to this place today. It's why we gather here today. We want to experience the presence of the Lord. You know, if you just come to go to some routine or just to go through something that everybody goes through all the time, some ritual, form of worship, you've come for the wrong reason. Amen. We've come in the name of Jesus. We've come because of Jesus. And we come because of the blood of Jesus. Because we want to meet with Jesus when we come into this place. And praise God, I'm glad that I come here not to experience the fellowship. I've enjoyed the fellowship. I've enjoyed going around talking to a lot of you today. I think I hit everybody, I think, except for those who come in after the service started. But I'm glad for the fellowship of the believers. I'm glad for the fellowship of the blood-bought, blood-washed children and family of God. But praise God, I want you to know something here. I'm here this morning because I'm longing and I'm looking for and I'm wanting to feel the touch of God upon my life. I want Jesus to show up. I want Jesus to minister. I want Jesus to speak. We're here. Just like they went at the appointed times. You know, they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they had to go those three times commanded to the house of God. I'm here because there's an appointed time. I'm here because there's a place to be. Hebrews 10:25, everybody knows that. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approach and all that. We're all familiar with that. But why? Why is it important? It's important because in Hebrews 10:24, it says, consider one another. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need the help that comes from my friends. I need the help that comes from my church family, from the family of God. I need that help. Consider one another. He said to provoke them, yes, to provoke them to godliness, to Christian living, to doing what's right in the eyes of God. We're here to be a help and to encourage one another, to exhort one another. That word exhort means to lift up. Sometimes the only positive things someone hears in their life is what they hear when they come to the house of God. And we can leave here with praise on our lips. We can leave here with joy in our heart. We can leave here as witnesses to what God has done and wants to do. Because when the doors are open, we're glad to be here. And we don't come in with old pooch mouth looking faces, but we can come in with a smile on our face and a joy in our heart in knowing that we know that we know that we know that we know that we've been born again. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And lastly, He's there. He's there to praise God. He's there to worship God. He's there to give thanks. Verse 4 says, whither the tribes go up to the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. You know what's missing so much in our church services is we got so ritualistic. We got so complacent in doing what we're doing where we're missing the worship. The worship, that's what it's all about. The collective worship. The individual worship. We've given away the worship to everybody else. We get in churches now, they don't want to sing the old hymns anymore. They want the praise groups, and they want this group and that group to come and to sing. They want somebody else to do the worshiping for them. Amen? They came to give thanks. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's an opportunity to come together collectively to give thanks unto the Lord. He's worshiping the Lord, not just a God, not just somebody. He says he's worshiping the Lord. He mentions the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. When he talks about the Lord, he's talking about Yahweh. He's talking about the I am that I am. He's talking about the self-existing one, the self-existent one that will never cease to exist and has always existed. He's talking about the God of the creation, the God that was there before all things were formed, the God that spoke the world into existence. He's coming to worship Him. If we would get a reminder in our hearts and in our minds of who it is that we gather here today for, it's not about the preacher. It's not about the singers. It's not about the folks that you've come by and hope you get to see and hope you get to visit with. But praise His name. It's about the great I Am. Amen. The Lord God Almighty, who loved us enough that He didn't annihilate us because of our sin, but sent His Son to die in our place. For God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That ought to make you want to shout the house down. That ought to make you want to praise Him and worship Him. He loved you so much that He was willing to take your place. He came to worship the Lord, the great I Am. He came to worship the covenant-keeping God, the one who has never broke a promise, the one that has never failed to do exactly what He said He could do. David, as he writes this psalm, is familiar with the goodness of God and the keeping of God and the blessings of God. When David went to face Goliath, he told Saul, he said, the Lord delivered the lion and the bear into my hands. He's going to deliver this giant also. He's going to deliver this one who is blaspheming the name of the living God as well. He's good. He's never failed me. He's not going to fail me now. You know why? He's a complicated. They said there's not that failed. You know something? There's still not a promise of God's word that has failed. Everything that God has said He could do, said that He would do, said that He wants to do, He has done. He still saves to the uttermost. Amen. He still keeps them that'll call on Him and trust on Him and make Him their Savior. He's still a covenant-keeping God. He's there to worship the one that has been faithful. God has been faithful to me. And there's not a thing that I've needed, not a thing in my life that God has failed to be unfaithful in. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Folks, you know something? He's still the same God today. He's still worthy of the same praise today. He's still worthy of us surrendering everything, giving up everything, seeking to come to the house of God, being glad to do so, being willing to do so, being grateful to do so. Why? Because He's worthy of our faithfulness, because He's been faithful. He's still the same God. He still does the same things. He still speaks to hearts. Perhaps this morning He's speaking to your heart. He's speaking to your life. Perhaps something in God's Word has pierced you. And the power of what God has said in His Word has ministered to you. Maybe you're hearing. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You don't know Him as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something. He loves you. He loves you more than anybody can love you. And He said He would save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, He'll save you. Man, if you'd get out of your car, get out of your vehicle, and just come on up here, we'd love to take the Word of God to show you how you can be saved. Or if you don't want to get out of your car and you're unable to get out of your car, just stick your hand out the window and just raise your hand and we'll send somebody. We'll send somebody your way. Show you how you can be saved. Maybe this morning you're here And you know you're not where you need to be. You know your heart's not where it needs to be. You know your life's not what it should be. You know you're in a backslidden condition. The Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That same covenant-keeping God that'll save is the same covenant-keeping God that restores. You see that this book of the law, that this word, this covenant that God has made from beginning to the end is a story of restoration. Restoring lost lives to a right fellowship. Restoring backslidden souls to a right fellowship. Restoring what has been missed to its rightful place. And friend, this morning, if you got something in your life that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be and being where God wants you to be, I'll tell you this. He's faithful to do what is needed to bring you back to the place you need to be. We're going to close in prayer. And if you need to talk to me on the way out, we'll be around here where we normally are. The church will be out if you need to put tithes and offering in. But if you need to talk to me, just let me know and you can pull off to the side and I'll be there just as soon as I can. Or if you can deal with somebody else, let me know and I'll just have somebody else come by. But we don't want you to leave here today not being where God wants you to be. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we thank You for this privilege that's been ours. Thank You for the blessing that's given unto us. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad to be here today. I was glad to see my friends. Glad to see my church family. But Lord, I was glad, Lord, that You showed up this morning and You ministered to us. And Lord, we just pray, God, if there's one in our midst that don't know You as their Savior, that they wouldn't leave this place today without inviting You into their heart. If there be one this morning, Lord, here that's in a backslidden condition, that's no longer where they need to be, that God, You wouldn't let them leave here this morning without making things right. Lord, if there's one here this morning that has a need, Lord, help them just to share that need and let us help them, God, in prayer. Let us help them, Father, some way, somehow to bear that burden, to help to alleviate that need that they have. God, let Your will be done. Let Your name be praised. And we'll thank You for all that You've done until You bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, we say amen.